How did Buffon think the Earth had come to be? Once again, it was through natural processes God had used, not through a direct supernatural decree of God. And it became immediately clear that Buffon believed the Earth was extremely old. Why? Because he announced that the more recent changes in the last few thousand years of the Earth's history were insignificant compared to those that had occurred in the ages following the original creation. Buffon viewed the Earth as just one of the planets. Its history was tied to that of our solar system. Now came the really novel idea Buffon introduced. Regardless what you thought of it, you had to admit it was intriguing. Buffon suggested that the Earth and other planets had originated as the result of a comet that had struck the sun. The comet had come in at an oblique angle, and the collision knocked off huge pieces of the sun's mass that settled into orbits at various distances away. That's why, he said, all the planets circle the sun in the same direction and in the same plane. He invoked the name of the great Newton, who had acknowledged that comets occasionally collided with other heavenly bodies. Let's remember that this was right at the time when Maupertuis and Clairaut were using Newton's system to great advantage in France. We saw that last time in Lecture 2. These pieces of the sun were clearly hot masses. Once they were separated, however, they could cool faster, which they proceeded to do, according to Buffon. He concluded that as the piece that was the Earth cooled, it became covered with water from the condensing atmosphere. So we have once again, as in Demolay, a primitive ocean that covered the Earth. And again, the motions of this primitive universal sea, in Buffon's case caused by huge tides, carved out mountains and valleys beneath the surface. Unlike Demolay, Buffon was reluctant to say how dry land came about as time passed. Well, you can imagine what the reaction was to all this. The Faculty of Theology of the Sorbonne in Paris notified Buffon of some 14 propositions from the natural history which they regarded as reprehensible. One reviewer, who clearly thought Buffon's work was outlandish heresy, noted that it required a world far older than Moses made it out to be, he said. Buffon had not said exactly how old, but the reviewer asked whether there was really any difference between Buffon's view and that of authors who believed that the world was eternal. He was obviously trying to associate Buffon with materialists. Well, as I said, Buffon was not yet so great that he could withstand such criticism. He had to retract what he'd said. And the retraction came out in the next volume of The Natural History, Volume 4. Here's what he said. I declare that I had no intention to contradict the scriptures, that I believe most firmly all therein related about the creation, both as to the order of time and matter of fact. And I abandon everything in my book respecting the formation of the earth and generally all which may be contrary to the narration of Moses. We know, however, that he continued to believe in his theory. He knew about recently published measurements of the heat in mines and hot springs that had been made to support the claim that the center of the earth was hot. He also knew of Newton's estimation that an iron sphere the size of our earth would take more than 50,000 years to cool from red hot to the temperature of air. Buffon set out in the coming years to conduct his own experiments on the rates of cooling for various substances that make up the earth. He published his results in a work on minerals in 1774, in which he inferred, he thought conservatively, that it had taken almost 75,000 years for the earth to cool to its present temperature and over 33,000 years to cool to the point when organic life could begin. In 1778, Buffon republished his thesis about the comet in a new book entitled Epochs of Nature. By this time, the atmosphere in France had changed from a quarter century earlier. As we saw last time, natural philosophy was becoming more visible in France. Lots of ideas were in circulation. We'll see later in Lecture 10 that here in the years of the eve of the revolution in Paris, there was a lot of people making claims of all sorts. So when he now wrote that the writer of Genesis had not meant for the days of creation to be understood literally, it didn't seem as scandalous as it would have at mid-century.